everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And it's time for another Secret War Saturday. But Manny and I thought that based on some big news that came out from Marvel this week, maybe we'd mention our thoughts on that. So in case you didn't hear, Marvel officially announced the return of the Fantastic Four, which, I mean, oh my God, it's been 3 years. And I mean, I'm not going to get into the why the Fantastic Four hasn't been published in forever, because it's pretty ridiculous and petty and stupid. And I'm just going to leave it at that. So what were your thoughts, Manny, when you heard they were officially coming back?
I was pretty excited because they're under C.B. Sapolsky. They seem to be bringing back quite a few of those characters that we've been asking to have back. The original Thor, Tony Stark's coming back, to name a few. And then, I mean, now we have the Fantastic Four, and not some crazy mix-up of teams. These are the original four, Reed, Sue, Ben, and Johnny, as everybody has already came to know them. So pretty cool, pretty exciting. This is kind of like the light of the end of the tunnel that I'm hoping that Marvel starts to kind of turn the page and do the right thing. So, just really good vibes off of it.
Yeah. So first of all, I Fantastic Four, the first title that launched the Marvel Age. It's ridiculous to me that it's been absent from the Marvel Universe for so long. At the same time, I feel like it's been a long, long, long time since the Fantastic Four has been a best-selling title for Marvel. It's been, you know, critically acclaimed in the last, 15 years or so at some points. But it's never been a top title. I think you have to go all the way back to the mid-80s, right about the time we're reading this Marvel Superhero Secret Wars to find Marvel Fantastic Four at the top of the charts. So in a way, I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll see if it sells. But the other thing is, has it been gone long enough? Like, you know, so many people have been like, I can't believe they're not producing a Fantastic Four title. So has it been gone long enough that it'll actually sell now? I mean, I don't know. Dan Slott, you know, critically acclaimed run on Spider-Man. Sarah Pichelli on art, who's, you know, she seems to be a pretty popular artist. So it'll be interesting. You know, I did like the little promo image that Marvel released. So if it's done well, I think, hey, great. If it's done poorly, then I'm going to be like, well, why'd you bother to bring him back? So I guess it's one of those wait and see things. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into Marvel Superhero Secret Wars. I think we're up to issue 7. And real quick, just to give a rundown, I don't know if we've explained it in a few episodes. So I wanted to get caught up on Marvel. Been many years since I've been caught up, probably since right after Civil War, rather. And so I stumbled across this reading order because somebody had told me, hey, the way you can, like, everything that's going on in Marvel right now is all like Jonathan Hickman's run. You know, everything he ever did for Marvel all led up to his Secret Wars event that came out in 2015 and just ended last week, it feels like. But it was his whole Avengers run and his whole Fantastic Four run. And so I was looking for a reading order for those things. And I came across this this reading order on a site called Comic Book Herald that was the complete Secret Wars reading order. And it was like from the preludes to the very first Secret War to Secret War 2 and all the crossovers to Secret War 3, which was an event that actually took place story arc that took place in Fantastic Four. So Manny had never read a lot of this classic Marvel stuff, so we decided now would be a good time for him to dive in. And so we've been doing a pretty deep dive, reading all this old school classic Marvel stuff. So that's kind of how we got started doing the Marvel chronology. And as I said, we're up to issue 7. So let me give you the creative team. It's written by Jim Shooter, pencils in this issue are by Mike Zeck. Inks are by John Beatty, and the colors are by Christy Scheel. So when we ended last issue, we saw a shadowy figure kind of lurking around the edges of the village where the heroes have taken refuge. And this issue starts off with Johnny Storm discovering her. And anyone who's read Marvel Comics in the last 30 years, I guess you'd say, is going to recognize the costume. It's very much the inspired by or looks very similar to the Spider-Man Black Venom costume that we all know and love, that's actually going to make its debut very soon in this series. And we discover that she's the new Spider-Woman. Clearly not the Jessica Drew version, which we just saw in one of the prelude issues of Avengers, but a new version of Spider-Woman. And we find out she's from Denver. So apparently when the Beyonder put together Battle Planet from different fragments, one of the fragments he took was a suburb of Denver. So she kind of proves herself by picking up a giant boulder and tosses it around. And Spider-Man sees her and he's like, man, she looks really strong. But I wonder if I can sue her for infringing on my name. And Captain America's like, you know, I'm just not sure. This is pretty dangerous business. You know, you haven't really proved yourself. And before they can really discuss further, they feel a rumbling and this giant tank thing rolls through the village. We know it's Wrecker and his wrecking crew that captured Wasp and Lizard last issue. They fire off a couple shots at some of the village huts and then toss what they believe is the corpse of Wasp, the body of Wasp, over the side. And she lands pretty awkwardly and they zoom off and the heroes go and gather up Wasp. They take her to Zaji, the healer, and She-Hulk especially is very distraught. And Zaji lays hands on her and then just kind of hangs her head and walks away and like, nope, she's dead. It's too late. And She-Hulk is beside herself with anger. I mean, they're all pretty upset. They're all ready to go and get some payback. You know, Hulk, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Thor, Hawkeye, Thing, and Human Torch, they're all ready to go take the fight to the villains, and Captain America's the one that says no. It's their duty to stay there at the base of the mountain where Galactus is building his world-devouring machine and keep vigil, because at any moment, Galactus could activate the machine, and it's up to them to stop. And so they start arguing, they're kind of arguing about it, like, maybe, like, why wait? Let's hit Galactus now. But then Captain America says, but maybe that's what Doom wants. Maybe he's trying to get us to attack Galactus. Thor says, yeah, and then once we attack Galactus, whoever the victor is will be weakened, and then Doom will attack them. And so Cap says, hey, you know what? Let's wait and see. Let's just wait and see. We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't want to squander our strength. And She-Hulk goes stomping off. She's obviously not happy. And then the scene switches halfway around the world. We know last issue, Wolverine, Rogue, and Cyclops had gone on a mission to see what Molecule Man, Dr. Octopus, Titania, and Absorbing Man were up to on the far side of the world. And it turns out Doom had sent them there to activate some volcanoes, which is keeping Galactus from devouring the planet because he's got to calm those things down. And so we see that Cyclops, Wolverine, and Rogue are actually on their way back to the base of the X-Men and Magneto. And Cyclops is communicating telepathically with Professor X and tells them that they're on their way home. And Professor X says, no, we're boarding a craft as we speak. What I want you to do is go trap Molecule Man, Titania, Absorbing Man, and Dr. Octopus before they can rejoin their allies. And so then the scene switches to that ship carrying the villains. We see that Molecule Man, you know, he was severely injured by Wolverine, and they're not sure if he's going to make it. They kind of argue amongst themselves about needing to get back to the Doom base, because if Molecule Man dies, Doom's going to be very upset with them. And meanwhile, in the villain base, Claw and Volcana are watching through the monitors, kind of communicating, and Volcana is very upset that she's not there with her Oi, who's hurt, and she goes to the Enchantress and asks to be transported. Enchantress is like, why would I waste my energy doing that? especially to transport a body as bloated as yours. I cannot be bothered. And Volcana says, please, I beg you. And Enchantress is like, okay, but there's going to be a price. And Volcana says, that's fine, whatever. And so Enchantress says, dark words, mortal wench, or rash words rather, mortal wench, and later you shall deeply regret them. And she transports Volcana to the ship, and everybody's kind of surprised. And Titania says, how'd you get here? Oh, I made a deal with the Enchantress. What? You should know better than to make a deal with her. But Volcana doesn't care. She's just happy to be there with, the guy that she cares about. And meanwhile, Dr. Octopus, who's controlling the ship, says, brace yourself, we're under attack. And the two X-Men ships attack. The villain ship crashes. And Volcana especially is very upset, and she really wants to take it out on Wolverine. So it starts a bit of a pitched battle. And Professor X, as we've seen throughout the series, his legs now work, so he's trying to take a more active role. And he kind of controls the fight. He's giving orders to the X-Men, do this, do that. Seems to go okay. Absorbing Man, meanwhile, gets his arm chopped off by... He's turned himself to stone, but he gets his arm sliced off by Wolverine. So that's got to hurt. And Wolverine almost gets fried by Volcana. And eventually... The villains realize that they're outmatched. They need to make a run for it. So Volcana's like, I'll cover us. You guys, grab Molecule Man and get to a ship and let's get out of here. And so Volcana just unleashes all her power. And the X-Men have to take cover behind some rocks and a magnetic shield from Magneto. And by the time they're able to free themselves, Volcana stops firing. They've already gotten, the villains have already stolen one of the X-Men ships and zoomed off. And Rogue's not happy. She's like, they got away. We blew it. And Professor X says, yeah, but we didn't lose anything except for one of our ships. And we showed that we can fight as a team. We passed a test. And Storm thinks to herself that really it's Professor X. He's the one that felt inadequate and needed to kind of prove himself. And he didn't do too bad of a job. As we turn to the next page, the scene shifts to Galactus's ship, which is almost as big as the entire solar system. We see Doom is still wandering around the ship trying to find something that's powerful enough to defeat the Beyonder. And he remarks that he can't even find anything powerful enough to defeat Galactus, let alone the Beyonder. So he continues to search. And as he does, Galactus, we see, is trying to get a handle on the volcanic activity on the other side of the planet so he can begin his world-devouring process. And as most of his focus is over there, he actually almost overlooks something, but he senses at the last moment an anomaly, and he seizes it and expels it, and he is not gentle. And that anomaly is Doom. So he finally sends Doom aboard his ship, and he basically transports him outside his ship and then throws him back down to the planet. And satisfied with that, he then returns his attention to quelling the eruptions on the other side. Meanwhile, at Doom Base, the villains have returned, and Volcana is begging Ultron to use the medical equipment to help heal Molecule Man. And Ultron says, yeah, I know how to use it, but without orders from Doom, I'm not going to. And so then Volcana turns to Enchantress. Enchantress says, I can heal your friend for a price. And she's like, well, what do you want? And Enchantress says, well, nothing from you. You already gave me everything, all your mortal possessions, you foolish mortal. And Volcana's like, witch, I'll kill you. And Titania's like, you know what? Volcana's my friend. For some reason, she likes that guy. I'm tired and hungry, and I'm going to eat and clean up and get some rest. But unless he's better by that time, I'm going to tear your leg off and stuff it down your throat. And you can see Enchantress is like, whatever. Meanwhile, Absorbing Man is carrying around his arm that's got sliced off by Wolverine, and he's trying to figure out what to do. He's like, man, my powers are magic. I'm not even sure how it works. If I turn back to human, I'm going to bleed to death. But if I stay in my stone form, I can't eat. So what am I going to do? And he decides he's going to hold the arm up to his bicep where it got severed, and then transform back into human and hope that that works. He's just like, ah, I just hope this works. And it actually does. He says it hurt really bad and it's sore, but for now, he seems to be okay. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the fortress, we see the Wrecking Crew trying to subdue Lizard. And Lizard's not happy that they killed the Wasp, because apparently the Wasp was nice to him and he now cares for her. And so they're like, yeah, you know what? Get this guy off me. He's like out of control. So they throw him in a cell. They lock him up and say they're going to go grab some food. And we see Claw kind of lurking around in the background. And as the rest of them go to eat, Bulldozer decides that he's going to get some sleep. And he goes into his quarters and he's like, why do I feel a breeze? There's no window in here. And he looks over and the bulkhead has a giant hole in it. And he's like, uh-oh. And sure enough, it's She-Hulk. She just, despite Captain America's orders, she was not about to lay down and not go avenge the Wasp. So she basically proceeds to beat the crap out of Bulldozer. And the rest of the Wrecking Crew hear the commotion and they're like, oh, get her. And meanwhile, Titania finds a hole in the wall and starts following it. And she sees it's just hole after hole after hole. She's no problem following the trail. And obviously somebody was in a big hurry, and it's a strong somebody who didn't bother with doors. And she's like, man, it looks like a slaughter room. When she gets to Dozer's room, we see that She-Hulk's taken out Piledriver, Wrecking Ball, Bulldozer, and the Wrecker. And Titania attacks, basically. And they have look like they have a pretty good fight going. But unfortunately, the rest of the villains hear and come running. So we've got Absorbing Man, a Dr. Octopus. So She-Hulk's pretty outnumbered, and the Wrecking Crew's starting to come too. The only one who doesn't seem to care is the Enchantress. She hears the sound, and she's like, eh, you know, maybe it would be amusing to go and watch, but nah, it's probably dull. I'm just going to hang out here. And then she actually sees Doom show up, and he's in sorry shape. His armor's smoking. His cape and his cloak are pretty much in tatters. She tries to talk to him, and he says, do whatever you want. It's over. Finished. And he goes and collapses onto the bed in his quarters. Meanwhile, She-Hulk is getting the crap knocked out of her. She is, as I said, in very bad shape. Just outnumbered. You know, She-Hulk's pretty powerful, but when it's like 6-on-1, that's a pretty long odds for anybody. So then the scene shifts back to Captain America, and he's kind of contemplating what the plan should be. Did they make the right choice? Did they not? You know, Galactus is just standing there and has been for hours. Why doesn't he, you know, do something and put an end to our waiting? And meanwhile, Hawkeye shows up and says, hey, I just wanted to tell you She-Hulk's missing. We haven't seen her all day. We all know where she went. We can't leave her alone. She needs our help. Captain America's like, nope, we got to stay here. And Hulk's like, hey, she's my cousin. Just let me go after her. And Captain America's like, I'm sorry. The answer is no. And everybody's like, well, will you at least put it to a vote? And Captain America says, hey, my heart would vote yes in a minute, but there's too many innocent lives at stake. You know, we've got the whole planet, the universe, depending on what we do here. I mean, if the villains win or Galactus wins, you know, that's it. They get their heart's desire, and that's not good. Meanwhile, Colossus has decided he's had enough of laying around. And he thinks, well, maybe if I get one more healing session from Zaji, I can work and maybe even fight again. And so he actually sees her coming out of the hut where the Wasp body lays. And as he walks toward her, she collapses, and he catches her, and he realizes how pale she is. She's barely breathing. And meanwhile, Professor X sends a telepathic message to Captain America saying that him and the X-Men pledge to keep an eye on Galactus and counter-strike Galactus if he starts to make a move, and that'll free up Captain America and his team to go and help help She-Hulk, basically. And so as all the heroes are kind of starting to disperse, Captain America's like, hey, listen up. Situation has changed. I'll explain later. For now, let's go get those butchers. And you can just immediately see the mood of the heroes turn. They are tired of getting their butts kicked. They're tired of being back on their toes and you know, kind of back on their heels, I should say. and they're ready to take the fight to the villains. And that's the way issue 7 ends, to be continued. So I feel like I don't want to say this issue is a setup issue because it does have quite a bit of action between the X-Men ambushing some of the villains and then She-Hulk going and attacking. So it's got quite a bit of action. But I really feel like issue 7 in a way is kind of the turning point in the story. It's where the heroes decide that they've had enough and they're going to go on the offensive, so to speak. I mean, up until now, they really were kind of reactionary throughout the story, waiting for the villains to attack them and being prepared for that. But they haven't gone on the offensive, and this is kind of where that shifts. The other significant event in the issue is the appearance of Spider-Woman. So Julia Carpenter, turns out, is her name, and she ends up being a pretty important character in the Marvel Universe. I want to say she's had her own series at one point, but she definitely hangs around, and this is her first appearance. As far as characterization goes, I think that this is the first issue where I feel like Shooter is portraying Professor X as I would expect him to be portrayed. You know, he even offers to keep an eye on Galactus so Captain America and his forces can go and back up She-Hulk. And that's a very heroic thing to do. It's something I can definitely see Professor X doing. You know, up till this issue, and we've talked about it a lot on the Secret War Saturday episodes, I feel like Professor X has been somewhat out of character. The other person in this issue I feel like that gets a lot of characterization moments is Enchantress, and it's all bad. I mean, it's not that she's portrayed poorly. She's portrayed as being bad. She's a bad person, and that is actually true. It's actually good characterization for her, and a little bit of the moral ambiguity she has with she's in love with Thor, but you know, she's selfish and she's just not a good person. And so, you know, she's not what you would think of as a mustache twirling villain. She doesn't want to, you know, rule the earth or anything like that. But she definitely is self-absorbed and vain and arrogant. And that's all portrayed very well. The other part of the issue that I like that the moment of Absorbing Man. That was a cool little, like, he gets his arm chopped off. How's it going to go back on? That, I just thought that was well done as well. As far as the art goes, I think that, you know, Mike Zeck's doing a great job. I feel like his panels have a little more kinetic energy than Bob Layton's do. But again, their storytelling style is very similar. And there is a really cool panel with all the villains looking down on She-Hulk that's very, very well done. Also the shading, especially when Captain America has to make the choices that they can't go after She-Hulk, you can just tell how much it's tearing him up inside. So real good job, by Zeck on the art. What are your thoughts on the issue, Manny?
I like the issue. There's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know why it bugged me so much the way that they dropped off the Wasp. I mean, they just kind of flung her out, threw her like garbage almost, and it was, I felt that part was pretty heavy. And then I found it interesting how long it took Galactus to get Doom out of his ship. And then also that was pretty cool, the fact that we got to see Spider-Woman. And something I really liked about the issue, and that it continues actually to the next one, is you get a lot of those little lines from Spider-Man, like, you know, hey, you think I can sue her for trademark or something for, because of her outfit, because of the gimmick, I guess. So, yeah, there's quite a bit here. And I really enjoyed it.
What'd you think about Doom kind of giving up? I mean, he's messed up from Galactus basically throwing him back to the planet, like, you know, having to go through re-entry in just his armor, basically.
I thought, you know, I thought how bad must have been the expulsion from the ship that he's just like, I'm done, I'm good. Especially with the word says he is not gentle. Like, man, what the hell did he do him for him to be like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to see Doom just give up, though. I mean, that's not usually his MO. So, you know, that really goes to show how much he, you know, he really must be
pretty messed up,
yeah. So, I still found it, I don't know, it's still, there's still a little bit of it that doesn't ring true to me. I just feel like, I just don't know that Doom would give up ever, you know?
Mm-hmm. The only other thing is I'm not familiar with the character, so I can't really speak too much of it. Just Enchantress's dialogue just kind of bugs me how she's just kind of there. And, I mean, it is what it is, though.
Yeah, I mean, he actually does a pretty good job, I think, with Enchantress. It kind of rings true. That's really the way she is and the way she's always talked. You know,
okay. So
I think that probably the only reason you didn't really notice before is she this is really probably the issue. Well, this issue and next issue are probably the two issues where she gets kind of the most screen time, so to speak. But again, I don't really feel like, which, you know, hasn't always been true in the past for some of the issues, you know, especially as we've mentioned with Professor X. Shooter hasn't necessarily done the best job, I think, portraying them accurately. But I think he's done a good job with Enchantress and like I said, with Professor X in this episode also. So I didn't mind it too much. And I also like the fact that She-Hulk was like, she wasn't about to take no for an answer. I mean, she's long at this point, it's long been established that her and Wasp are very close friends. So I can totally see her just being like, I don't care what Captain America says, I am going to go kick the crap out of the Wrecking Crew. And she does a good job of doing that. But unfortunately, 4-on-1 is, she can handle 6-7-8-on-1, not quite so easy.
Not the greatest odds, no.
So anxious to see what happens next. And if the villains are gonna get what's coming to them, so to speak. All right. Is there anything else that we want to say about issue 7?
Nope. Not this issue, no.
Any comments on Colossus and Zsasz?
I don't know. I think I know what's going on, but I'd rather not say. And we'll leave that till the next issue. Because I'm right.
All right, fair enough. The only thing I'll say about it is, again, I just feel like, man, supposedly he loves Kitty Pryde with all his heart. And then, you know, he goes away to this alien planet and meets some random chick, and all of a sudden he can't even remember what Kitty looks like. So it just seems, a little weird, a little strange. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this issue or episode. Or both. So we'll be back next Saturday with Secret Wars number 8. Don't forget, in the meantime, you can go to LRM online for all past episodes of the podcast. While you're there, be sure and check out all the other pop culture coverage on movies and TV shows. Also, do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us there. Twitter.com/The Comic Source is where you can find us on Twitter. All three of those social platforms are great places to follow us to get up-to-date coverage of conventions and find out when we're releasing new episodes. We putting out about 6 episodes a week, but oftentimes it's 7. So numbers are great as far as downloads. They're really trending up. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in and telling your friends about the podcast. It's getting to the point now where it's not me reaching out to creators to find out if they want to come on and talk about their projects. It's the creators reaching out to me. So it's kind of going the other way now, which is a very good problem to have. So we really appreciate all the creators that come on the show and talk about their projects. It helps us, it helps them, and it's a great way for all of you listeners to find out what's going on out there. So really appreciate it. As I said, be sure to follow us on all those social media platforms. And don't think there's anything else. Phoenix Comic Con is my next show coming up. Do you have a show coming up, Manny? You know the next show you're going to be at?
There's a small show here in Madera in mid-April that I will be at a booth. So it's not that big of a deal, though. It's just a small local show.
Right on. Well, if anything changes and it turns out that I'm going to be at any shows in April or early May, I certainly will let everyone know. So in the meantime, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.